Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 5th. County OK's Deputy Constable Hirings. Two new posts in Precincts 3 and 4 come amid spike in service demands and growth. The story was written by B.K. Richter. Midland County Commissioners approved the hiring of two deputy constables for Precincts 3 and 4 in order to address the growing service demands within those areas and community concerns. Stacy Gonzalez, a Midland real estate agent, addressed commissioners during public comment period about hiring the deputy constables. Quote, "I am a broker and owner of a real estate office here in Texas," she explained. "As we are developing toward the west with the new schools and the new subdivisions in play, I would like to know more from this body, particularly how we be able to use the resources of law enforcement, along with the constable, to help ensure public safety, along with theft and other items that will be ongoing during this development," end quote. Commissioner Diane Anderson thanked Gonzalez and said that she was aware of resident concerns within the area due to the growing demands of her precinct. Quote, "It's a big consideration," she said. "I think we are all trying to deal with supporting law enforcement at whatever level, be it the sheriff's department, being the constable or the police, anywhere that we can support law enforcement. We need to be supporting law enforcement because we need to protect our community," end quote. Anderson said the current constable of Precinct 4, Jamie Hall, needed help to perform her duties. Quote, "We have more apartment buildings in Precinct 4 than any other precinct," Anderson explained. "There's a lot of development happening west of State Highway 158 out there. There's just a lot of crime happening back there," end quote. In September 2025, Midland County Commissioners voted to eliminate a deputy constable position from his 2025-26 budget, which went into effect October 1, 2025. Despite residents who expressed their concern for the removal of the position in Precinct 4, Deputy Sean Glenn was removed and placed into an investigator's position within warrant services at the Midland County Sheriff's Office. At the time Glenn was removed, Constable Hall reminded the commissioners of the responsibilities and duties of her position. Quote, "First, you are saying that they are warrants," she said. "They are not. They are citations. There is a difference. We are basically taking someone's livelihood when we serve evictions because they will have nowhere else to go," end quote. Additionally, Hall said that constables are elected peace officers who serve as law enforcement officials at the local level within each county. Quote, "Their roles and responsibilities are set by the Texas Constitution and state law," she explained. "Our main duties are law enforcement officers. We carry the same commission that the Sheriff's Department does, as well as municipal police. We are also a court officer. We serve as the officers of the Justice of the Peace Court, which means we are bailiffs," end quote. According to Hall, court-ordered evictions, as well as enforcing judgments such as property seizures, are part of the role that the constable's office is assigned. Quote, "We do things that other people don't want to do," she said. "We can also execute warrants and arrest people, and we have done so as well as serve evictions and civil duties. We have a community role, as you have heard from residents within the county, a rural part of the county where no one goes, end quote. Hall also told commissioners that when she took office in 2021, her office had approximately 172 evictions. In 2022, that number increased to 355 evictions. Another issue that was raised within the court proceedings on Tuesday was when County Judge Terry Johnson asked that Commissioner Charles Hall, who is Jamie Hall's father, not participate in the discussion or the vote to add a deputy constable to Precinct 4. County Attorney Russell Malm said that Commissioner Hall could participate in the discussion as well as vote. County officials said that the additional staffing would help to improve response times, strengthen public safety support, and ensure more efficient delivery of court-related services for residents. Deal for upkeep of fleet saves $100,000. Commissioners pick Sewell proposal for maintenance needs. The story was written by B. K. Richter. Midland County has already realized a $100,000 saving by fleet management providers, according to a presentation at Tuesday's County Commissioners meeting. In September 2025, the court considered proposals from Vector Fleet and Sewell for the county's fleet maintenance needs. Commissioners ultimately chose the Sewell contract, leaving Vector, a company that had been the county's provider for 11 years. Sewell provided a 5-year contract for $474,000 and also promised commissioners cost reductions and better service. Simon Reed, with Sewell Fleet Management, presented the first quarter results to commissioners, which highlighted a total fleet expense of $212,000, $100,000 below the previous fiscal year's average. Reed also introduced Courtney Graham as the in-shop coordinator and Brian Fittering as the account manager. Reed said the current program aims to reduce the total cost of ownership and downtime by triaging vehicle issues through a toll-free number available to county employees. Reed reiterated to commissioners the importance of triaging vehicle issues to ensure they are directed to the most cost-effective provider. Examples included warranty repairs to the dealership and using mobile providers for on-site repairs. Additionally, Reed highlighted the importance of preventative maintenance to reduce the total number of repairs and the total cost of ownership for the county. Commissioners requested employee feedback for the toll-free number system the county employees are being directed to use. County employees said that routine oil changes, which used to take weeks, are now completed in approximately 30 minutes. Reed also provided a detailed breakdown of the first quarter expenses to commissioners, including $137,000 for light-duty maintenance and $41,000 for heavy-duty equipment. The expenses were compared to benchmarks, showing a $55,000 surplus in light-duty maintenance and an overall improvement in financial results. Quote, give or take, we are a little bit ahead of or better than what we spent in the previous fiscal quarters on average, Reed explained to commissioners. We are really excited to see that result, end quote. Additionally, Reed told commissioners of specific carryover repairs that had been left from the previous vendor with the county. Quote, we had to make sure those vehicles got back on the road, he said. We had to get those taken care of, end quote. When Sewell began to dig into the process and review the utilization of the vehicles, it found several vehicles that had not been driven. Quote, we are finding out a lot of those units have been sold already, Reed said. They have been auctioned off or disposed of, and they are not part of the workflow, end quote. Reed pointed out the discrepancy to commissioners due to subscription fees that Sewell charges. These subscription fees are prorated based on the number of days a unit is in service, ensuring accurate billing. Quote, we will go back and basically provide credit for those units that weren't getting service because, quite honestly, they didn't exist in your fleet, Reed said. So that's an ongoing process. You will see that number change a little bit for our next quarterly review, end quote. Natura NGL to cooperate on water treatment. Collaboration aims to produce source of both power and water. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Natura Resources is in the midst of constructing a test reactor, testing its molten salt reactor technology at Abilene Christian University. But the company is also pursuing commercial projects at the same time. That includes one just announced with NGL Water Solutions Permian, LLC, to pursue opportunities to combine Natura's advanced modular reactor technology with thermal desalination for power production and oil and gas-produced water treatment. The agreement with NGL, quote, is a continuation from when I came out of retirement in 2019 to found Natura, said Doug Robison, founder and chief executive officer. The first scenario I landed on was to deploy these reactors in the Permian Basin to power desalination facilities, end quote. In speaking with the Reporter Telegram, Robison said that was the most obvious need, which was reinforced by Winter Storm Uri in 2021, when significant parts of Texas lost power and water. It was reinforced again in 2023 when the Texas legislature allocated $5 million to the Texas Produced Water Consortium, and yet again by the December 2024 interim report from the State Senate Water, Rural, and Agriculture Affairs Committee on Water. That report identified the next generation of reactors as needed power sources for desalination facilities in the Permian Basin and across Texas. Quote, this is the next step, he said, of the agreement with NGL. We at Natura have talked about this since the beginning. It's why I founded the company, and now we are partnering with industry to solve the problems, end quote. Under the terms of the agreement, Natura and NGL will collaborate in seeking opportunities to combine Natura's 100-megawatt molten salt reactor with NGL's produced water treatment and desalination expertise. The collaboration will utilize NGL's expected Texas Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, or TPDES, permit, to provide a flexible economic solution for power generation and create a new water source for Texas. The combined system will have potential application for treating produced water from oil and gas operations on an industrial scale and will generate power and clean water for potential beneficial use in data centers, agriculture, and as a new water source for other industries. Natura and Abilene Christian have received $120 million from the state for the test reactor. Of that, $8 million goes to the Texas Produced Water Consortium, which is working with Natura, ACU, and Texas Tech to advance the technology to power desalination facilities. Robison recounted hosting a group from New York this week at ACU's Research Center, where construction is underway. As they marveled at the reactor, quote, I told them we have two commercial projects simultaneously moving into the licensing process at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, end quote. The timeline for making the reactors operational is dependent on funding, but he said they could begin working in the 2030 timeframe. Upstream employment ends 2025, little changed. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Despite the headwinds of low oil prices and falling activity, upstream oil and gas employment in Texas remained essentially flat in 2025. The Texas Oil and Gas Association released a report finding that through November 2025, upstream employment totaled 201,000 jobs, citing data from the Texas Workforce Commission. Employment declined by 3,500 jobs from October, but year-to-date employment was little changed, with a net gain of 300 direct upstream jobs. Employment was also modestly higher than a year earlier, rising by 100 jobs. Quote, reaching new production highs in multiple categories with employment essentially remaining steady is absolutely remarkable. Navigating these volatile circumstances is a vivid reminder. Growth is not guaranteed. Todd Staples, TXOGA president, said in a statement. Continuing the quote, this resilience demonstrated by increased energy output in 2025 depends on policies that support infrastructure development and market flexibility so the oil and natural gas industry can adapt to uncertainty and continue delivering the affordable, reliable energy that powers our modern way of life, end quote. Since the COVID-era low point in September 2020, Texas upstream oil and natural gas employment has increased by more than 44,000 jobs, a 28% gain, underscoring the industry's continued role as a high-wage employer in the Texas economy, according to TXOGA's report. Upstream employment includes oil and natural gas extraction and related support activities, but excludes downstream sectors such as refining, petrochemicals, pipelines, and fuels distribution. The combined industry sectors moved up slightly on average from 492,000 in 2024 to 495,000 in 2025, reflecting just less than a 1% increase. The oil and natural gas industry represents 31% of Texas' private sector economy and paid $74 million every day last year in state and local taxes and royalties that fund state highway construction, state savings account, universities, school, and first responders. Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reported Telegram's oil report for Saturday, January 31st. Exxon's Delaware Basin output up 60%. Company cites drilling approach and data analytics. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. ExxonMobil has reported a major milestone in its Delaware Basin operations. The multinational producer said it is now producing more than 600,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day from its Delaware Basin operations, a 60% year-over-year increase. Overall, the company produces 1.6 million barrels of oil equivalent per day. ExxonMobil attributes the growth to three factors: cube development unlocking multiple production layers at once, lightweight proppant boosting results and cutting costs, real-time data analytics driving smarter decisions. ExxonMobil is applying its cube development and lightweight proppant in its Delaware and Midland Basin operations. Quote, cube development enables us to drill multiple horizontal wells in stacked intervals from a single surface location, a company spokesman told the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Quote, By applying this unique approach across our acreage, we can safely and efficiently bring online large sections of producing acreage in a shorter period of time, which maximizes recovery, reduces costs, and minimizes the environmental footprint of our operations, end quote. He added that the approach enables a development plan and return profile that is resilient across a wide range of prices and market scenarios. Field tests of the lightweight propant in the Delaware and Northern Midland basins show an increase in recovery of up to 20%, according to the spokesman. Quote, nowhere is our emphasis on technology and innovation paying off more clearly and immediately than in the Permian, where we have the largest Tier 1 acreage position, he continued. Cube design and optimized spacing are also improving capital efficiency. Beyond improving oil production, technology on the ground, in the air, and in space is used to mitigate, monitor, and measure methane emissions, the spokesman reported. A growing suite of technological improvements, global satellite monitoring, aerial flyovers, compressor electrification, pneumatic device phase-out, among others, are allowing the company to quickly identify, reduce, and quantify emissions. The spokesman added that the company plans to have all upstream assets continuously monitored by 2028. Utilizing remote operations will increase safety performance through metrics such as decreased drive time and decreasing costs through electrostatic discharge prevention. Quote, every barrel of oil isn't created equal, and our technology advantages and scale continue to set ours apart, the spokesman said. Wildcat Well for Pecos County. The story was written by Mela McEwen, oil editor. Count EOG Resources among the producers stepping into the unknown in the search for new drilling opportunities. The company is operating the sole Wildcat rig in Pecos County, one of only three rigs active in the county, to drill its State Banana Stand 31, number 3501H. The Texas Railroad Commission issued the drilling permit for the Wildcat well in late November. The well, permitted to 14,000 feet, is 30 miles southeast of Fort Stockton. Quote, EOG is drilling the Woodford in southern Pecos County. According to our estimates, the company has leased about 75,000 acres right on the border of Pecos and Terrell counties, Stephen Sogriff, principal analyst at Inverus, told the Midland Reporter-Telegram. He continued, quote, this is driven by oil resource scarcity in the U.S., and is just one of many stories where operators, including EOG, are exploring domestically to appraise and expand resource. There are a handful of offsetting horizontal wells targeting the Woodford, developed by Brahman and brought online in 2015 and 2020, with mixed results overall, end quote. Storm brought rise in prices for natural gas, drop in production. Electricity demand rose 40% amid frigid conditions, according to analysis. The story was written by Mela McEwen, oil editor. Winter Storm Fern had its expected impact on energy production and markets. The frigid weather sparked a 110% rally in Henry Hub natural gas prices and a reduction in oil and natural gas production. According to an analysis by the Texas Oil and Gas Association, the state's production declined 7% to 10%, while electric demand surged 40% during the storm. From January 20th to January 26th, thermal, and other dispatchable resources supplied up to 92% of Electric Reliability Council of Texas generation, including roughly 70% from natural gas, supporting reliability through periods of peak load and cold weather stress. Matthew Bernstein, Vice President of North America Oil and Gas at Rystad Energy, reported an initial loss of 2 billion cubic feet of natural gas from the Bakken, Rockies, and Mid-Continent, followed by a more abrupt drop of 12 BCF per day, primarily driven by the Permian and broader Gulf Coast region. Rystad's analysis also had an initial pre-freeze assessment of 11.3 million barrels per day of production in the onshore lower 48, which would likely see a monthly average January impact of 390,000 barrels a day, driven significantly by the Permian and other Petroleum Administrative of Defense districts, which also includes the Eagle Ford and Haynesville. Quote, "It is always a bit difficult to estimate prior to knowing how harsh the storm will turn out. We do note, however, the large extent of this winter event affecting nearly every significant oil and gas-producing basin, as well as significant population centers, leading to an extensive cumulative impact, even if some regions held up well, like the Bakken and Appalachia," Bernstein told the Midland Reporter-Telegram. He added that as temperatures normalize, production should be restored quickly. Artem Abramov, deputy head of analysis at Rystad, added, quote, "Let us also add that when outages are fully on par with expectations, front-month Henry Hub contract went from $3.10 to $6.75 per MMBTU over the course of 1 week, beginning January 19th. Of course, this is not only about supply outages. It is a net impact of demand skyrocketing and supply outages. There is always a part of the market that prices in probability of the system navigating through winter crisis smoothly, or weather forecasts ending up wrong. When the shock actually comes, immediate price effects from outages roll out really fast. Still, we note that so far the magnitude is comparable to January 2022 and January 2024 disruptions, stronger than the January 2025 impact, but not as dramatic as the winter crisis of February 2021, end quote. Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, noted that the state's natural gas production and infrastructure was resilient during the storm, with statewide production remaining near 28 BCF per day, roughly equivalent to peak winter consumption levels. Quote, "Natural gas storage, all private efforts, played a key balancing role. Natural gas storage withdrawals increased materially, with gross withdrawals peaking near 12.8 BCF per day, helping supplement flowing supply and meet elevated winter demand," Staples told the Reporter-Telegram. "This performance is a direct result of the industry's ongoing planning, weatherization, and around-the-clock response teams and asset deployment. Texas energy remains winter-ready and reliable for all consumers. Even with significant challenges, the response coordination amongst industry, its partners, and the state have ensured natural gas production, storage, transmission, and delivery have been able to successfully navigate the storm and deliver needed supply," he said. Matador lifts output, cuts costs with batch developments. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Matador Resources is meeting the industry's goal of increasing production while reducing costs. In updating its well performance this week, the company attributed improved well performance and cost efficiencies to large-scale batch developments. As an example, Matador turned to sales a 17-well patch development, one of the largest developments in the company's history, on its John Callahan unit in its Antelope Ridge asset area in Lee County, New Mexico, that targeted multiple horizons in the Bone Spring and Wolfcamp formations in the second half of the year. Early production results for this project show recoveries approximately 8% higher than Matador's company-wide average normalized oil production for wells turned to sales in 2024 and 2025. These better-than-expected results are primarily attributable to improved well targeting, completion design, and chemical optimization. Average lateral lengths of 10,300 feet, combined with full trimul-frac and simul-frac completion operations, reduced total well cost by 10% compared to Matador's 2024 Lee County averages, the company reported. Matador also updated its acquisition and development activity, detailing its brick-by-brick acquisition strategy. Through this strategy, the company said it adds high-quality acreage throughout its core asset areas in the Delaware Basin. Matador completed over 690 separate transactions for approximately 17,500 net acres in acquisitions in 2025, bringing Matador's Delaware Basin acreage total to 212,500 net acres as of December 31, 2025. The total consideration for these acquisitions was approximately $245 million, or $14,000 per net acre, excluding capitalized general and administrative expenses. Many of these transactions involved the addition of interest in the Matador-operated units that were drilled in 2025 or that are planned to be drilled in 2026. These acquisitions enhanced the immediate value of the assets and further improved the economics on the wells drilled at these locations. Matador's brick-by-brick approach resulted in the addition of 100 net locations in 2025, along with 23 upside locations, essentially replacing the locations drilled by Matador in 2025. Matador's brick-by-brick strategy also allowed it to incrementally increase its working interest in the John Callahan unit through acquiring additional interest in the unit.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, January 31st, 2026. Religion. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. Moving the Ark of the Lord from 2 Samuel chapter 6. David was now king of all Israel. He captured the fortress of Zion, Jerusalem, and called it the City of David. As they were transporting the Ark of the Lord from the house of Abinadab to Jerusalem, the oxen pulling the cart carrying the Ark stumbled. Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark, and the Lord struck him dead because of his irreverent act. Being afraid, David took the ark to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, where it remained 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his household. Seeing the blessings of the Lord upon the household of Obed-Edom, David went to move the ark of the Lord to the city. As the ark was being carried to the city of David, David danced before the Lord with all his might. David's wife, Michal, daughter of Saul, criticized David for his dancing in the street and accused him, saying, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would."
This is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, February 4th, 2026. Midland Health. Midland Health honors PCA Jamie Brooks with B Award. Midland Health recently celebrated the exceptional dedication and compassion of Jamie Brooks, a patient care assistant, PCA, on the Orthopedic Neurology Unit by presenting her with the esteemed B Award. The ceremony, led by Lori Forbus, Midland Health Recognition Program Manager, highlighted Jamie's outstanding contributions to patient care and her ability to make a lasting impact on those she serves. The B Award, which stands for Being Exceptional Every Day, was created to honor the vital role of PCAs and CNAs in supporting nurses and medical teams. Forbus said during the ceremony, quote, "Without the help of our PCAs and CNAs, we can't flourish as medical teams. We are so fortunate and grateful to have wonderful PCAs like Jamie," end quote. Jamie's nomination came from a family member of a patient who spent 1 week in the hospital. The heartfelt nomination letter recounted how Jamie's care and attentiveness provided comfort and security during a challenging time. Quote, "My family member was at fall risk and needed assistance getting out of bed," end quote, the mother wrote. Quote, "Jamie was the night PCA, and on one of the nights I was so exhausted that I couldn't wake up when anyone came to check on my family member. The next morning I was told she really liked Jamie. I asked why and was told how Jamie helped during the night when the patient's legs gave out. Jamie was strong enough to hold the patient up, help them to the bathroom, and even fixed the bed before laying back down," end quote. The family member added, quote, "The patient doesn't feel comfortable with many people, but for the patient to acknowledge and listen to Jamie's instructions says a lot about her. Jamie's care and kindness made all the difference," end quote. During the ceremony, Jamie was presented with several tokens of appreciation, including a nomination letter, a certificate, a B Award trophy, a pen, a bouquet of flowers, and a swag bag. Forbus emphasized the significance of the award, saying, quote, "This is a reminder of how awesome you are and the incredible impact you have on your patients and team," end quote. The ceremony also included a surprise appearance by the patient, who shared gratitude in person. Quote, "I'm the hard-headed patient," end quote, the patient said with a smile. Quote, "Thank you, Jamie," end quote. Though Jamie humbly admitted to being shy and hesitant to speak, her actions spoke volumes. Her team, beaming with pride, applauded her for her dedication and the positive energy she brings to the unit. The B Award ceremony concluded with warm words of encouragement from Forbus. Quote, "You've done great, Jamie. I'm really proud of you. Your team is all smiles, and they all appreciate what you do. Thank you so much," end quote. Midland Health's B Award serves as a powerful reminder of the essential role PCAs and CNAs play in delivering compassionate, patient-centered care. Jamie Brooks exemplifies what it means to go above and beyond, and her recognition is well-deserved. If you would like to nominate a PCA or CNA, please visit midlandhealth.org/main/B Award.
Personal hygiene. Doctors share pros, cons of using a bidet. New York. Once considered an oddity in American homes, bidets are becoming increasingly common as more people seek a hygienic and sustainable alternative to toilet paper or a hand managing certain physical conditions. Toilet paper shortages during the COVID-19 pandemic helped demystify the devices for U.S. consumers, although Italy, Japan, and some other countries where bidets are standard bathroom features also saw runs on TP. Environmental awareness, less expensive bidet options, and the development of smart toilets that perform multiple functions have given further momentum to the idea of rinsing instead of wiping. Bidets can earned a moment in the national spotlight last month when Zoran Mamdani, New York City's new mayor, said he hoped to have them installed in the bathrooms of Gracie Mansion, the 18th century Manhattan home that serves as the official residence of the city's chief executive. Medical professionals sometimes recommend bidets for patients with hemorrhoids in recovery from surgery or who have limited mobility due to age or disabilities. But experts say bidets are not best for everyone and need to be used properly to prevent other problems. Here are some of the ins and outs to consider. For every budget, Bidets use a jet of water to clean the genitals and anal area after someone goes to the bathroom. They originally existed mainly as standalone features separate from toilets. These days, the options include toilet seat attachments and handheld versions that resemble detachable showerheads. Many of the latest, quote, smart, end quote, toilets come with integrated bidets and feature heated jets, adjustable water pressure, and air dryers. On YouTube and other social media platforms, there are videos demonstrations of how to make a portable bidet with a plastic soda bottle. Proper etiquette. Bidet converts tend to rave about how much cleaner the appliances leave them feeling. Since all toileting activity involves delicate body parts and bacteria, experts stress that correct bidet use is required to make the activity as sanitary as possible. When using standalone bidets and ones installed on toilets, it's best, especially for women, to turn on the faucet while facing the controls, so the washing is done from front to back, according to Dr. David Rivadeneri, a colorectal surgeon with the Huntington Hospital in Huntington, New York. That position prevents the transfer of bacteria from the anal area to the urethra, Rivadeneri said. Most doctors recommend using warm water at low pressure for up to a few minutes, avoiding any extreme temperatures. You can also try a gentle soap if desired, but it's usually not necessary for regular bidet users. Rivadeneri cautions patients against trying to inject water into the anus since the devices are not meant for internal use. Quote, you're not supposed to be substituting it for a colonic or an enema, end quote, he said. After washing, pat dry with toilet paper or a dedicated cotton towel to remove any remaining stool and to prevent yeast infections, experts say. Bidets can be used every day, but are most appropriate after a bowel movement. Overuse may cause skin irritation, according to medical experts. Proper bidet maintenance also matters, said Dr. Neil H. Patel, a family physician with the Providence St. Joseph Hospital in Orange County, California. Make sure to wipe down the nozzle every week or two with disinfectant wipes to remove bacteria, he said. Bidet benefits. Dr. Danielle Antosh, a urogynecologist in Houston, said some studies have shown that a bidet leaves less bacteria on a user's hand compared to toilet paper, but the research remains too limited to know for sure. However, doctors who are in favor of bidets think the devices are less harsh on sensitive skin than toilet paper. Quote, the texture of toilet paper can cause irritation and itching. While the gentle water stream of a bidet is less abrasive and healthier for the skin, end quote, Dr. George Ellis, a urologist in Orlando, Florida, said. Bidets, therefore, may benefit people with chronic diarrhea or other conditions that necessitate a lot of wiping, as well as those who are prone to urinary tract infections, medical experts said. They also may help relieve discomfort from hemorrhoids, fistulas, and anal fissures, they said. Three dermatologists from the University of Tennessee Health Science Center wrote in a 2023 editorial in the International Journal of Women's Dermatology that their peers should be, quote, aware of the commonality of bidet use outside of American culture, end quote, and comfortable recommending bidets because skin conditions such as eczema, psoriasis, and contact dermatitis can occur in the perianal region. They also argued that by helping people with physical limitations clean themselves independently after using the toilet, bidets can reduce the workload of caregivers, most of whom are women. When to turn away. Bidets are another example where it's possible to get too much of a good thing. Some doctors in Japan have advised patients who reported rashes or difficulty controlling their bowels after frequent bottom cleansing to stop using bidets until the conditions cleared up. Antosh recommends checking with a doctor before using a high-pressure bidet right after childbirth, or if you have genital ulcers because powerful streams of water may be irritating. Dr. Jenna Queller, a dermatologist and founder of Boca Raton, Florida-based DermWorks, said the same was true for people with genital eczema or psoriasis. She recommends moisturizing the areas after using a bidet to prevent irritation. And while bidets may offer relief for an itchy bottom, always consult a doctor if there's persistent bleeding from fissures or hemorrhoids because you have a more serious condition, Rivadeneri advises. Bidets generally are recognized as a greener choice than toilet paper by most environmental groups and scientists. The nonprofit Natural Resources Defense Council said in a recent report that the device is, quote, significantly cut down on the use of toilet paper, helping to lessen the environmental impacts associated with tissue production, end quote. Gary Bull, a professor emeritus of forestry at the University of British Columbia, told the Associated Press in recent interview that while it makes sense and is agreed bidets are more sustainable, truly knowing the environmental impact of a product requires calculating the carbon emitted and energy used in making the products and through the end of their life cycles. Fancier bidets, for example, use electricity to heat the water and seat, he noted. Quote, I was working out in my own house last night putting in a Japanese bidet because I just came back from Japan and I went, okay, this is good, end quote, Bull said. Quote, but then if I look at that bidet, if I'm doing an honest assessment cradle to cradle, then I have to look at the water consumption, the energy consumption, a whole bunch of other things to know whether or not that is a better choice for me as a consumer versus toilet tissue, end quote. Andrea Hicks, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of Wisconsin, suggested thinking about how dry or wet a climate you live in before making a decision. In a, quote, water-stressed, end quote, state like Arizona, toilet paper may be the more sustainable choice, while a bidet might make more sense in a place where water is abundant, Hicks said.
HHS unveils program to address addiction. New York. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced this week that his department will devote $100 million toward a pilot program addressing homelessness and substance abuse in 8 cities, building on an executive order President Donald Trump signed last week related to addiction. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services will also make faith-based organizations eligible for addiction-related grants and expand states' ability to use federal health funding for substance abuse treatment in certain situations involving children. Kennedy said at an annual, quote, Prevention Day, end quote, event for the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. The new initiatives signal the administration acting on an issue that hits close to home for many Americans, including Kennedy, who has been open about his past heroin addiction and lifelong commitment to recovery. They represent some quick momentum for Trump's executive order signed last Thursday, launching what Trump calls the, quote, Great American Recovery Initiative, end quote, to better align federal resources on the addiction crisis. Yet the announcements come as the administration's actions so far have created uncertainty, fear, and logistical challenges for mental health and substance abuse treatment providers around the country. Over the past year, about a third of SAMHSA's roughly 900 employees have been laid off. The agency and the organizations it serves are still reeling from the administration's whiplash-inducing reversal last month that briefly eliminated, then abruptly restored, $2 billion in grant funding for substance abuse and mental health programs. Advocates and providers have said they don't feel they can plan for the future because the administration has created an environment of uncertainty. HHS spokesperson Andrew Nixon said the department is, quote, focused on reform and ensuring that federal resources are used effectively, responsibly, and in ways that deliver real results for those struggling and their families, end quote. Quote, as part of the Great American Recovery announced just last week, HHS is moving forward with new funding, expanded flexibilities, and targeted actions that strengthen the mental health and substance use treatment system and provide greater support for providers on the ground, end quote, he said. Federal data shows that overdose deaths fell through most of last year, suggesting a lasting improvement in an epidemic that had been worsening for decades. Still, that decline was slowing, the figures showed. Kennedy said SAMHSA's new pilot program will be called STREETS, or Safety Through Recovery, Engagement, and Evidence-Based Treatment and Supports. This is the Midland Reporter Telegram, Health and Wellness, for Wednesday, February 4th, 2026. Midland Health. Midland Health honors PCA Jamie Brooks with B Award. Midland Health recently celebrated the exceptional dedication and compassion of Jamie Brooks, a patient care assistant, PCA, on the orthopedic neurology unit by presenting her with the esteemed B Award. The ceremony, led by Lori Forbus, Midland Health Recognition Program Manager, highlighted Jamie's outstanding contributions to patient care and her ability to make a lasting impact on those she serves. The B Award, which stands for Being Exceptional Every Day, was created to honor the vital role of PCAs and CNAs in supporting nurses and medical teams. Forbes said during the ceremony, quote, "Without the help of our PCAs and CNAs, we can't flourish as medical teams. We are so fortunate and grateful to have wonderful PCAs like Jamie," end quote. Jamie's nomination came from a family member of a patient who spent 1 week in the hospital. The heartfelt nomination letter recounted how Jamie's care and attentiveness provided comfort and security during a challenging time. Quote, "My family member was at fall risk and needed assistance getting out of bed," end quote, the mother wrote. Quote, "Jamie was the night PCA, and on one of the nights I was so exhausted that I couldn't wake up when anyone came to check on my family member. The next morning I was told she really liked Jamie. I asked why and was told how Jamie helped during the night when the patient's legs gave out. Jamie was strong enough to hold the patient up, help them to the bathroom, and even fixed the bed before laying back down," end quote. The family member added, quote, "The patient doesn't feel comfortable with many people, but for the patient to acknowledge and listen to Jamie's instructions says a lot about her. Jamie's care and kindness made all the difference," end quote. During the ceremony, Jamie was presented with several tokens of appreciation, including a nomination letter, a certificate, a B Award trophy, a pen, a bouquet of flowers, and a swag bag. Forbes emphasized the significance of the award, saying, quote, "This is a reminder of how awesome you are and the incredible impact you have on your patients and team," end quote. The ceremony also included a surprise appearance by the patient, who shared gratitude in person. Quote, "I'm the hard-headed patient," end quote, the patient said with a smile. Quote, "Thank you, Jamie," end quote. Though Jamie humbly admitted to being shy and hesitant to speak, her actions spoke volumes. Her team, beaming with pride, applauded her for her dedication and the positive energy she brings to the unit. The B Award ceremony concluded with warm words of encouragement from Forbes. Quote, "You've done great, Jamie. I'm really proud of you. Your team is all smiles, and they all appreciate what you do. Thank you so much," end quote. Midland Health's B Award serves as a powerful reminder of the essential role PCAs and CNAs play in delivering compassionate, patient-centered care. Jamie Brooks exemplifies what it means to go above and beyond, and her recognition is well-deserved. If you would like to nominate a PCA or CNA, please visit midlandhealth.org/main/B Award.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, February 5th. Boyfriend has an unusual annual tradition with his ex. Dear Abby, my longtime boyfriend has been divorced for more than 20 years. Each year, his ex comes to stay at his house for a week or two and brings along another female friend. He caters to them, driving them around and entertaining them at restaurants, etc. I am never included, even though I have expressed an interest in doing so. Am I wrong in thinking this is disrespectful to me and for feeling resentful over having never been introduced to his annual house guests? I include him when I have house guests. Signed, Left Out in Florida. Dear Left Out, your longtime boyfriend is acting like you are his guilty secret rather than his lady friend. Is his ex aware that he has a girlfriend? I can't blame you for feeling disrespected and excluded. Because this is an annual event, it may be time to consider taking a vacation of your own during the time your boyfriend will be AWOL. Dear Abby, I am 76 and live in a great neighborhood. However, there are almost as many canines as there are houses. As a result, many of them are walked by my house at least twice a day. I like to go for walks in my neighborhood, but I'm afraid of dogs. If I meet someone walking their dog, they usually want me to pet their dog. If I tell them I'm afraid of dogs, they often say I shouldn't worry because their dog is friendly and would rather lick me than harm me. However, I don't want to be licked either. I've tried timing my walks to avoid these encounters, and I don't want to drive elsewhere and waste gas to go for a walk. Suggestions, please. Signed, Solitary Stroller in the East. Dear Stroller, I do have a suggestion for you. Smile at the dog walkers and keep walking. That way you will project friendliness but won't be forced into an extended encounter that is unpleasant for you. It's no sin to not want a licking. Dear Abby, how do I ratchet down gift-giving? I am 80 years old. I have just about everything I want and far more than I need. Yet, I have a daughter-in-law and a sister-in-law who lavish me with a half dozen or more gifts each holiday and birthday, books I will not read, clothes I will not wear, items I already have. All of them are new and not inexpensive. I do not wish to cause a schism. Any suggestions on how to approach these ladies to suggest that, while it is nice to be remembered, one is enough? Signed, Stuffed with Stuff in Massachusetts. Dear Stuffed, talk to your daughter-in-law and sister-in-law individually. Tell them how grateful and touched you are that they are so generous with you, but explain that it is causing a problem. You no longer have space for more things, and if they feel they must give you birthday and holiday gifts, you would appreciate it if they would donate the money to a charity of your choosing. It's honest, and I'm sure the funds would be welcomed. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.